So good to see all of you here this evening. Our music this evening will be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his work, who he is, what he has done for us. So I want to invite you to stand this time and let's sing together of Jesus, our Messiah.
Hallelujah. verse one more time.
Hallelujah.
Pray together. Our Father, for those of us here who know you through your Son, that song is the testimony of our lives. Lord, there was a time when we had no idea how enslaved we were, how bound by sin, dead in sin we were. But Father, thank you that you loved us first, and because you loved us, you had sent your Son to live and die in our place, and you interrupted our lives with yourself. Your Holy Spirit brought us life through the gospel. Lord, we thank you, we love you, and Lord, we say gladly, with great joy, all I have is Christ. Lord, that's enough. Thank you that there's nothing else in this world that can come close to the value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. As Paul put it so beautifully, Lord, we are willing to count all things loss for the value of knowing Christ Jesus. We thank you that you brought us to that place. And Lord, it's because of that that we delight to worship you in music and the study of your word. We delight in others whom you have saved and redeemed. They're our family. And so, Lord, we thank you for the joy and privilege of gathering again tonight to exalt you in all of these ways that you have designed. Receive our worship. Lord, it comes from both grateful and humble hearts because of your amazing grace. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back tonight, and we're so glad you're here. Let me just say a special greeting to those who are our guests. If this is your first time here, we're so glad you've chosen to come and worship with us this evening. A lot goes on around here. You're welcome to all of it. You'll hear about some in the announcements in a moment. If it is your first time, or this is another thing that happens, if you've been coming to Countryside for a while and I haven't had the chance to meet you, I'll be down here afterwards. I would love to meet you and just have a chance to greet you, but know that we're grateful you're here this evening. Just a couple of quick things to mention. Jonathan made a number of announcements this morning. I'll just mention a couple that are coming up. And one is this Friday, men, you can still register for Men's Night Out. Friday, August 16th, registration closes tomorrow. So make sure you plan to be with us. Then next Sunday, and Sunday evening, we're going to do the we're going to have a screening of the Cessationist documentary in the afternoon. If you haven't seen that, you can register to come and see that. We need to make sure we have a space that's the right size, so that's why we need to let us know that you're coming. And then next Sunday evening, following that screening, for those of you who haven't seen the documentary, I'll have a Q&A centered on the issue of cessationism. There are a lot of questions I know that people have, maybe you have, about the issue of why do we believe the miraculous gifts have ceased, and what do we do with all of those things we hear about, you know, et cetera. So we welcome you back next Sunday night, and we'll address that issue. And then finally, I would mention that the Institutes of Theology I mentioned this morning, men, that's coming up on a week from Tuesday, August 20th. We'll start, and we'll begin our journey through the Bible, the entire Bible, in this fall semester. So I encourage you to join with us if you're able to do that. Well, it is my joy tonight on behalf of the elders to tell you about the privilege that's ours to ordain Cody Plesnar to the gospel ministry. And many of you have had the opportunity to get to know Cody and Brooke, and as they've been here through the years now, Cody has served as a pastoral intern at Countryside since the spring of 2022. He graduated from the Master's Seminary Dallas location in May with a degree in a Master of Divinity degree, and then he also completed his XL internship in June. So it's been a busy time of life for them. He and his wife, Brooke, live in Fort Worth with their daughter, Amelia, who's 1 year old. And Cody has been through a very rigorous and lengthy process of testing, including his testimony, his character, his call to ministry, his ministry skills, his ability to teach, his theology, his biblical knowledge, his knowledge of the scripture. And tonight, we are acknowledging that we believe as elders that he has passed all of those tests. We are acknowledging his call, not by us, but by the Lord Jesus Christ, his qualifications biblically to serve in this role, his gifting for pastoral ministry. And so that's what we're doing as we ordain him to the ministry tonight. Let me just tell you what's going to be happening with them. He has accepted the position of associate pastor at Teton Valley Bible Church in Driggs, Idaho. There he'll provide pastoral oversight to various ministries, including adult Sunday school, baptism, membership, and of course he'll serve alongside the senior pastor there in shepherding and congregational care for the people who are a part of that church. They plan to move, I think it's still on, for the last week in August, right, to head up to Driggs, so I hope you'll be praying for them. But tonight, it's our joy to ordain Cody to the gospel ministry. I'm going to ask Cody and Brooke to come forward. Brooke recently had hip surgery, so I'm not going to ask them to come up here and stand behind the pulpit as we normally do. I'm just going to ask them to stand down here in the front, and we'll do this here. In fact, I told Cody his last test was whether or not he treated Brooke well during this time, and she said he had, so that's good. He's passed. I'm going to also ask the elders to come now, if you would, and we're going to gather around Cody and lay hands on him. And then I'm going to ask three elders to pray. Justin is going to pray for his family, and Gary for his personal life and holiness, and then I'll pray for his ministry. You join us as we pray together.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Cody. We're so thankful for his faithfulness to you and his giftedness. Lord, we're also incredibly thankful for Brooke and the helpmate that she is, and what a wonderful support and what a gifted woman she is. I pray that Cody and Brooke would continue to love your son Jesus and to love one another and grow in their marriage relationship. We are so thankful for little, sweet, cute, adorable Amelia, and we ask that she would grow up to be faithful to you. Pray that Cody and Brooke would continue to love her and to be a light and to model Jesus, and that Amelia would come to know your son. We're so thankful for the Plesnars and just ask that their family would continue to be a light in a dark and dying world.
Lord God, we thank you that as your children, we can come to you as our Father. And we come tonight with such joy in our heart, seeing how you continue to raise up young men to take the baton and to begin to run the race that you have laid out for them. Tonight, Lord, is one of those nights. It's one of those times with joy inexpressible as we've watched, and all who know Cody, Brooke, and Amelia have watched how you have groomed Cody for this task of becoming a pastor. And now, Lord God, we ask that you continue to guide Cody and the family, always giving Cody a heart of love for people, that they might be saved, always giving Brooke and Cody a high view of you as their God, a high view of your word, and that Cody would accurately preach God's word in season and out of season, always being ready to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, but with great patience and instruction, so that he might fulfill the ministry that you've called him to, so that in the end, Cody would be able to say, as Paul did, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." And Lord, we thank you for giving Cody this great responsibility, and that you've supplied him with a godly wife and Brooke to help him in this ministry, with a child to teach all about you as their God and Savior, who works in such wonderful and marvelous ways. Oh, Lord, we ask that you will lead them as they begin to engage now in this new ministry. And we pray for Cody that the fellowship of his faith with you, Lord, may be effective through the knowledge that he has gained to the glory of you alone. We ask that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, Cody and Brooke, and Amelia, as we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Our Father, we are so grateful for the church. We thank you that in your great eternal wisdom, you created the church as a local assembly of believers where, as part of the body of Christ, we could live life together and grow together, love one another and care for one another. Lord, thank you for the fact that to minister to such churches, you call and gift men to serve in that role as shepherds and pastors. Lord, tonight we thank you that you have done so, we believe with all of our hearts, in Cody's life. Thank you, Lord, for saving him, for bringing him to know you through the gospel. Thank you for doing the same with Brooke and, Lord, bringing them together. And now, thank you for the gifting you've given him, for the opportunities in the Master's Seminary, through the XL internship, the ministry opportunities here at Countryside. Lord, I pray that you would bring all of that to fruition now as he leaves us to go serve in the Teton Valley Bible Church. Lord, I pray for his ministry. Lord, give him first and foremost a love for our Lord Jesus Christ. May he be one of those who is characterized by an incorruptible love for Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would protect him in the midst of his own flesh from temptations. And Lord, may he love Christ above everything else. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd make him a faithful man. Ultimately, Lord, we acknowledge that that is the test. We can't produce fruit in the lives of others. All we can do is be faithful with the stewardship that you give us. And Lord, our prayer is that you would continue to make Cody a faithful man. Lord, we've seen that faithfulness here, and we now offer him to you and ask that you would preserve and protect him to that end. We pray that you'd give him a love for your word, that you would enable him to teach it clearly and accurately, passionately. Lord, I pray that you'd use the word taught through him in the lives of the people he shepherds. I pray that you'd give him a love for people, Lord, that he would shepherd individuals, and Lord, that he would love all of the people that are part of that church, those who are lovable and those who are not. Lord, that he would love them because they're your people and you love them and you sent your son to die for them. Lord, I pray that you would give him an ability to really come alongside and be an encouragement to the senior pastor of that church. May he hold up his hands and be an encouragement and support throughout his time there. Give him wisdom in dealing with the issues that come up. Lord, we just entrust him to you. We believe with our hearts that you have called and gifted him, and so we entrust his ministry moving forward to you, Lord Jesus, the Lord of the church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, while the hugs are going on, why don't we stand together? We'll sing to Christ.
One thing first,
yeah,
Michael.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Before you go with that, I want to do one other thing, and then I want to congratulate Cody. Let me just read to you the certificate of ordination that we're going to present to him tonight. It's signed by all the elders, and it says this: "We, the undersigned, hereby certify that after a full examination of his Christian experience, call to ministry, gifts for teaching and preaching, and the knowledge of Scripture and biblical doctrine, Cody Plesnar was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by the authority and order of the Board of Elders of Countryside Bible Church at Southlake, Texas, on the 11th day of August, 2024. Let's congratulate him together. You guys, we hate to see you go, but we're excited as well.
All right, now we can sing together.
Mm-hmm.
Trials, through all the pain, all the suffering, even the failures that we experience in this Christian life, we are a people who can have peace, we can have rest, we can have joy, we can have great hope because of what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. Each one of us here tonight, if you are in Christ, we can say with confidence, Christ is mine. We are His, and Christ is mine. So we're going to sing these amazing truths together. Christ is mine forevermore.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael, for leading us praising the Lord tonight. I think this is a couple of times that I've taught and you've been here, so either you really like me or Seth. No, Seth loves me. Seth loves me. But Michael, thank you so much. Praise team, that was fantastic. I'm excited to teach Proverbs 3 with you tonight. And the mission became clear in late April or May. Jonathan sent out the orders that we were all to pick a proverb or a part of Proverbs to teach. Now, for a teacher, that's one of the most difficult things because most passages are saying, pick me, pick me. And so I took the coward's way out and I just sat back and I waited for everyone else to pick. And then I decided what to choose. And I'm glad I did it that way because I kind of have a little bit of a summary since this is our last Sunday night with Proverbs. Now, whether we were talking about integrity or pride or working hard, all of these lessons have a common theme because, well, the book has a common theme. And that theme is wisdom. The theme is wisdom. And biblical wisdom is knowing the right thing and doing the right thing. A lot of times we know what we should do or we know what's best for us, but we don't have any intentions or any follow-through on actually doing it. I know that my grass needs watering and that water will make it look healthy and will grow, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to remember to turn on my sprinklers to have it water. In the same way, young teens and children, you know that you are to honor and obey your mother and your father. You know, all right, there's songs about it. There's scripture. You get reminded often, but sometimes you choose not to do it. In the same way, I know that I am to study God's word, and I am to be a workman that is with no need to be ashamed. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to come to church faithfully, and I know I'm supposed to serve, and I know I'm supposed to share the gospel. But am I doing it? Am I doing it? You see, if we are in Christ, we have turned from our sin, and we have placed our faith in Jesus, and the old things passed away, new things have come. We now have the Holy Spirit who indwells us, and we can execute God's wisdom. We can carry it out. We can do it. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not in Christ, there is no wisdom there. You live a life of folly. And I would plead with you to turn to Christ and receive forgiveness so that you can live your life according to God's amazing wisdom. Well, tonight as we come to Proverbs 3, we are going to look at a father's astounding argument for wisdom. So we'll take all of our summer study. I'm not going to review it, by the way. I know you're a little concerned about that, and put the cherry on top with do it. And here we have a father's astounding argument for wisdom. Now, every one of us can relate to this scenario because you are either a son or a daughter, and you have a father, or you had one, or you are now a father, or you could even say a mother here, and you're thinking through what things, parents, have you tried to convince your children to do? Are there any of those that you weren't particularly successful? Or maybe you tried a different strategy or a different technique. It's like trying to feed the child that gross green substance on a spoon when they're a baby. And you've got to do the airplane or swirl it around thinking this time it's going to go in. Youth, children, is there anything that mom or dad has tried to teach you, but you have resisted it? I know, not with this group, not at all. There could be practical things, like my dad, I've mentioned many times, is a roofer and a carpenter, and he tried to, you know, teach me how to like hammer and staple gun and carry shingles up the roof and stuff like that. It didn't quite take, all right? I got okay at digging ditches, but they weren't quite straight, but he loved to teach me those things. Are there things your parents tried to teach you, and maybe you listened, and maybe you didn't? Well, here, it's not optional. It's not optional. The father here is teaching his son, but he's teaching his son God's word, God's truth. And we as Christians can't opt out of this. We must embrace. You may look back on your life and say, man, I wish I'd listened to mom or dad more in these particular areas. Well, all of us need to listen to God's word more. When it comes to this passage in particular, I'm going to, Lord willing, get all the way through verse 12, but it's organized like this, all right? The father will give a prompt, and then the father will give a promise. And so we love alliteration, so we have Papa's prompts. Now, if that messes you up, if you can't get past that, you can say Dad's prompts, okay? You can say Solomon's prompts, because that's who it is, but we have Papa's prompts. So things like in verse 1, keep my commands. And you're like, oh, there we go. Sounds like my dad. Number one, son, keep my commands. Well, okay. The author is saying God's commands that I am communicating to you. You need to keep those commands. And if you do that, there's going to be a promise that goes along with it. You skip down to verse 9. The prompt is to honor the Lord from your wealth. Okay. Well, with both of them, if I keep the commands, life and peace is promised to me. Life and peace is promised to me. If I honor the Lord from my wealth, my barns will be filled. And you're like, I don't even have a barn. What does that mean? This is a good thing. It's a positive thing. And there are times that as parents, we try to get our kids to do something or convince them with the carrot. You understand that concept, right? The horse and a carrot, and you dangle the carrot and the horse goes. I don't know why a carrot wouldn't work on me. A donut, yes, that would get me moving in the correct direction. Sometimes we have the stick, all right? If you're not going to listen, then the stick is what's going to prompt you along. Well, here we have the carrot. We have the promises. We have the positive side of obedience. And we're going to look at each one of these prompts. So Papa's first prompt is Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, we need to understand that the father here is Solomon. Solomon is writing this, and as we studied this morning, he is inspired by God to record this truth, but he is writing this, and he is sitting down with his son giving this wisdom. Now, we don't know which son it was. He had lots of sons. And we know that Solomon himself was a man of great wisdom. One of the first things that he did when he became king, he sacrificed to the Lord and he asked the Lord. The Lord said, you can have what you want. And he said, I want wisdom. And so God blessed him with wisdom. But in that, there are times that Solomon exercised great wisdom. But then there's parts of his life where he exercised great folly. And he sinned in lots of different areas, and he tried to satisfy his life with everything that you could think of. And at the end, he came to his senses and said, vanity of vanity is all of this, apart from God. And I would like to think this is at the end of his life, and he's sitting down with his child, and he's saying, son, look, I've been there. follow Yahweh's commands. Follow God's commands. Trust me on this. Now, when he says, my son, it reminds me, you can turn there, of 1 Kings chapter 2. And this is David during this time of transition where Solomon is going to be taking over the throne. And he is going to give him some advice. He's going to give him some wisdom. And now we have Solomon doing the same thing that his father did. It says in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, as David's time drew near, he charged Solomon, his son. He said, look, I'm dying. I'm going to be with the Lord. Of all things, what do I want you as my son, as my successor, to remember and do? He says, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. Verse 4. So that the Lord may carry out his promise, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So King David, who at times displayed incredible wisdom and faithfulness, but at times he exercised folly. And there are consequences for that folly in his life. And he sits Solomon down and he says, this is it. This is it, buddy. You read this, you study this, you apply this. This is where it's at. And so Solomon now is sitting down with his son and writing out, my son, do not forget my teaching. Do not forget my teaching. And don't be thrown off with the different like rectangles and colors. The colors really don't mean anything. You're like, one is kind of pinkish and one is gray. Most of this just pops me up on what to say next, okay? So when he says teaching, the Hebrew word is Torah, which we're familiar with, right? Direction, teaching, and instruction. But not only my teaching, but my commandments. Let your heart keep my commandments. This emphasizes the right to give orders. As your father, I have right to give orders, but essentially he's saying, as your mentor in the Lord, I am going to take godly wisdom and godly truth, and I am going to say, you gotta do it. You gotta apply it. You gotta apply it. First of all, do not forget it. Do not forget it. Any of y'all particularly forgetful people? My keys, I often forget where my keys go. I try to put them in the same place, but it doesn't always work out. And it tends to be they always get lost when I'm late, which exasperates everything, right? We can get forgetful. Oh, I forgot your birthday, or I forgot your anniversary, or I forgot this. That happens, right? And on one sense, he's saying, son, I don't want you to be kind of absent-minded about it, but it's more than that. I don't want you to look at these commands and go, ugh. When Israel was faithful, God would bless them because of their faithfulness and because of his goodness. But when they were living high off the hog, what would happen? They would forget him. So adversity would come, and they're like, whoa, oh, yeah, God. Oh, yeah, I remember him now. And he's saying, don't even get to that point. Don't even get to that point. And this was built into the law. This is built into what Moses had commanded them in Deuteronomy 6. Says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful, which is the opposite of forget. Listen and be careful to do it so that it may be well with you and that you may multiply gratefully just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Verse 6, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. What's on your heart? What's on your heart? What's your affection? Is it God's word? Is it God's commands? If you love his word, if you treasure his word, if you value his word, if it's on your heart, then you're not going to forget it. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And see, the obligation isn't just the church at Sunday school teaches it to your son. Father, you teach this to your son. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. So you're not just teaching them, you're talking about them. Whether you're walking, whether you're laying, whether you're this or that, it's on the tip of your tongue. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your head. Now, it's not that the law was like magical to ward off evil or something like that. It was a reminder. Oh, why is that there? Why is that there? You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Why? So that you will not forget the teaching of the Lord. Do not forget my teaching, but let your heart, what, keep my commandments. That word keep means to observe, but it also means comply with. It means to comply with. So any command you can think of that the Lord has commanded you, I am to honor and obey my mother and father. I am to have integrity. I am to put off pride, and I am to be humble. Anything that I can imagine, I am to comply with that. I do not want to kick against the goads of God's commands. He's not some mean overlord, ogre type of. He's a loving father who sent his son to us. And I should comply with this. If you want to, you can turn to Psalm 78, where we see this lived out in the life of the psalmist. Psalm 78. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. For us as a church, when we talk about a high view of God and a high view of Scripture, it doesn't die with us. We take that and we give it to the next generation so that that generation can take it and give it to the next generation and on and on and on. We are to observe or to comply. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart, with all my heart. So this is his prompt. This is what he wants you to do. And so we take some time and we evaluate and we think of the word and what the word says and what you know it's saying you should do. Do you try to tune the Holy Spirit out? Do you distance yourself from church and godly people because they're a reminder of God's word? Do not deliberately forget, but do not passively forget the teaching that is here. Instead, keep it. Know it, love it, observe it. That's what this means. And if I do that, what happens though? What happens though? It's not that we need the promise. The prompt is enough, right? The prompt is enough. But the promise makes us go, ooh, yes, I got to do that. I got to do that. Proverbs 3:2, for length of days and years of life and peace add to you. Add to you. Now, how much would the world pay for this? How much? You don't even have to inject this, okay? You get this. I'm going to have an extended length of days, years of life. Isn't this what they're looking for? The fountain of youth, so to speak. They know their time is ending, right? Father time is undefeated in that we will all die. How do I make it longer? Well, the world isn't interested because you notice that I left out part of the verse. They will add to you. What's the they? What is this they? God's teaching and God's commandments. And the world goes, nope, no, no, nope. Don't want that. If I do that, then I can't I can't have all the fun that I want. And I can't satisfy myself. And I've got to live by rules and guidelines. And I don't want that. That's the rebellious heart of man. God, through Solomon, is saying right here and now, the general principle of life is that if you follow God, you obey God, you serve God, length of days and years of life and peace, that's what you get. And the world says, no thanks. I'm good. I'm going to keep doing what I am going to keep doing. Sad, isn't it? I pray tonight that's not you, but we need to remember the opposite. What is our obligation to this? To make sure that we keep his word, that we don't forget it. Where else do we see this promise? Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, remember, when we look at Proverbs, it doesn't always mean that if you do this, you're going to live to 90 or to 100 or to 110, right? These are general principles, generally speaking. And so you think of the child-father relationship. Growing up in Israel, what was supposed to happen to the rebellious, obstinate, blasphemous child? What was supposed to happen to them? They're supposed to stone them. Well, that kind of goes against that long life thing. Kind of puts an end to that, doesn't it? But you can also see that parents love their kids. And they want them to be safe. And they want them to make good decisions. So that when they tell you not to do this, or you shouldn't do that, or what about this, youth and kids, there's actually wisdom behind that. They're not just shooting in the dark. And it could be their advice and their mentorship is what helps save you from a bad situation. Save you from a bad situation. Look at Proverbs 4, 10 through 16. Hear my son and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction, do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. And do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. You think of Haman in the book of Esther. Haman was mad at that Mordecai guy, and he was a fool. But he had foolish people around him, and they said, go for it, destroy him. And what happened to Haman? He died. His life ended early because of his sin and because of the sin of others. We also see this in Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Now, ultimately, this prolonged days in life and peace, it gets realized in heaven, right? Can't get any longer than that, eternity with our Father. Can't get more peaceful than that. But all I know is I want this. I want this. Are you there? Is this what you want? You ever been scrolling on Amazon or something like that, and you want something, and you don't really know if you can afford it quite yet, but the next thing you know, you hit buy now, and it's coming. In college, there was this wicked thing called eBay. And I didn't quite understand all of it, but somehow I got a snowboard, snowboard boots, and a sword. I could no longer have eBay. You want it, right? So go for it. This is what we want. So we go for it by keeping the word of the Lord. What about a second prompt? What about a second prompt here? Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Kindness here, it's a virtue, meaning faithfulness, kindness, goodness. It's godly action. It's proofs of mercy. And truth, obviously, we understand truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. His word is truth. But it's taking that truth and taking that knowledge and living it. And living it. Psalm 138:2, we get both of these words. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness. That's kindness. And your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. You see, we have received loving kindness. We have received faithfulness of the Lord. We have received truth. And now we live that truth. We live that truth. That's who we are. And it says, the verb here is not let leave. Pretty simple, right? Not let leave. You know, my papa and I don't remember a whole lot. He died when I was young, but I remember that he always cheated in dominoes. Or maybe that was me. And he would love it when we caught a turtle. Because he would... All right, any with PETA here? Okay. He would drill a hole in the shell, and he would tie a wire to it, and then he would tie... You could, like, take it around like a dog, or you could just keep it there. And that poor turtle could never leave. I was young and impressionable, okay? I'm not saying to do this, kids. But it wouldn't leave us. It couldn't go anywhere. It couldn't leave. And I'm like, it's a turtle. It wasn't leaving anyways. Could have put it in a box. Kindness and truth are who I should be and what I do. And I can't let that escape me. I've got to tie it to me. Well, how do I not let them leave me? Bind them on your neck. This is how serious we're getting, people. Kindness and truth are characteristic of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And you want them and you want to display them. You want to live by them. So you got to tie them to your neck. And you're going to write them on the tablet of your heart. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, how do we know that the bind them is not literal, like you really need to have something? Well, you're not writing anything on your heart, are you? Speaking figuratively here. And the idea behind this is, D.M. and Hebert says, these virtues should influence every choice and movement. So you think of your neighbors. Am I interacting with them with kindness and truth? Am I thinking about this of the people in my Sunday school class, the people at work, the people in my co-op, or the people at school? This is what I should be doing. This is how I should be doing. And what's the promise with that? So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Favor. They'll look upon you favorably. Good repute. They'll speak well of you. And it's not just in the sight of God, which is awesome, and that's ultimately who we live for, but you'll also be elevated in the eyes of man. And it's not that you're living for the praise of man, but this is a good thing for the gospel. This is overall a good thing. If I am a kind, truthful, faithful, honorable person, God, I am elevated in the eyes of God, but I am also elevated in the eyes of man. But why is this such a great promise? Why is this such a blessing? Well, there's a couple of circumstances we can see with this. Proverbs 8:35, for he who finds me, this is wisdom, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And we think of 1 Samuel 2:26. The boy Solomon was growing in stature, in favor both with the Lord and with men. Now, it's simple. The with the Lord, you're like, let's go. I want to please the Lord in all things. He has done so much for me. I can never repay him. He has paid the debt that I could never pay. So I want to please him in all ways. But what about with men? Well, remember, Samuel is ministering to who? The people of Israel. And they didn't want to go to a priest that was a thief like Eli's sons. They didn't want to go to someone that was going to rip them off and lie to them and cheat and be harsh. So in order to help facilitate, he's a man of honor and integrity and truth and kindness. And you think of pastors and ministry. This is what we want to be because we want you to receive the message that we're teaching. And if we're raging dragons and mean people, if we're just making stuff up, that doesn't help. So the people in your neighborhood that you're trying to share the gospel with, that you're praying for, you know, the whole you catch more flies with honey. I don't know why you want to catch the flies, all right? But this is the honey right here. And it's also true of Jesus. Luke 2:52, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Now, did Jesus also have his detractors? Absolutely. The more faithful he was, the bigger target he had on his back, and that is natural. But this is the process. You think of Joseph, sold into slavery by his siblings, rises because of his faithfulness in the house of Potiphar, targets on his back, Potiphar's wife takes him down, he starts over again from scratch, and he becomes the second in all of Egypt. Rising in favor with God and with man. And then the youth were studying Daniel this summer. It's the same thing with Daniel. Why this Jewish guy? We defeated them, right? We ripped them out of their home, right? Why is this Jewish guy rising through the ranks? Well, because he loved Yahweh and he exuded kindness and truth. And God blessed that. Now, what about Papa's third prompt? Papa's third prompt. And I know what you're thinking here, okay? I gave myself an out. I said I wanted to get through verse 12. I don't want to disappoint you, but I'm not. All right? I have a summary slide coming up. And this alone is a sermon in itself. So much that if you feel cheated, you could go online to our media files. And I believe Tom has a lesson on Proverbs 3, 4 through 6 that you guys can jump in and you can enjoy yourself. But I do want to, this will be our last prompt that we get to, and then we'll summarize some of this. And I won't go as in-depth as you would like, but this one, this is the one you knew I was getting to, right? You knew we were getting here. The prompt is threefold. Trust, do not lean, and acknowledge. That's what we're supposed to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's a lot right there, isn't it? Well, let's start with the first part. What does it look like to trust in the Lord? Trusting in the Lord is our summary prompt. It's all in. It's not halfway. With all your heart. And where do you think Solomon learned this from? 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him. With what? Halfway. It's okay. You can get through it. You can muddle your... God won't notice. No. With a whole heart. We're not shooting for a C- here, people. We're going for the A+. I need to... Solomon here is to serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, and he understands every intent of the thoughts. If you try to fake it, it doesn't work. You can come here to church every Sunday. You can come on Wednesday night. You can be in a home fellowship. You can have a happy, shiny face. You can give online. But if you don't fully bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God knows it, and he is not fooled, and he is not pleased with that. And then in every aspect of my life, I go back and I trust him. It says, if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. And Jesus made it very clear, did he not, in Matthew 6:24? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. For you will love the one and hate the other. So when we get to Proverbs 3, verse 5, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. There is an aspect of it that this is the gospel message. This is salvation, okay? You can't do this without salvation. So I come to the point where I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I turn from that sin and I wholeheartedly embrace the lordship of Jesus Christ. I am confessing with my mouth that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, that he rose again on the third day, and that my only way to be with a holy and righteous God is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's my whole heart, my whole being. There is also an aspect of sanctification in this. There's different levels with which you trust God or you don't. That's the starting point. But as you walk in this life, there are times you should be growing closer to God, trusting him more and more, but then there are some times that we trust who instead? There are times, Christians, we trust ourselves. There's times we trust the guy on the radio. We trust the person at work. We trust our sin instead. And Christian, this is where we apply this to our sanctification. Don't do it. What he says is best for you. It is best for me. It may not always be easy, but it's the best thing. But do you trust him? Well, yeah, I trust him. But no, you said you trusted him. Remember the whole just saying that you trust him. That's not wisdom. You actually have to what? You actually have to do it. You should do it. So when I think of my entertainment choices and what I watch and what I listen and what I think about and my conversation and all of those things, I have to go back and say, what does God say and what does God want? I'm going to trust God in this. And it's going to be difficult at times, but I trust him. And is there anyone that you can imagine that deserves your trust more? Absolutely not. Time and time again, he proves powerful. He proves sovereign. He proves faithful. He proves to be loving. He's right always. But why do I choose that sin? Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I should trust him with every ounce of my being. Every ounce of my being. What's the next answer to this question? What does it look like to trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding? Do not lean on your own understanding. Lean obviously means to support oneself. To support oneself. I don't want to take my understanding and it be what holds me up. I don't want it to be the crutch or the cane or whatever it may be. I don't want to support myself with my own understanding, because after all, when I came to know Jesus Christ, I came to understand that I had nothing to bring to the table, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. God, I have no wisdom outside of you. I have no understanding outside of you. And you know what? I don't need it. I need you. I need you. In 1 Peter 2:2, we're challenged to grow, right? We're to grow by the pure milk of the word. That's how we grow in faithfulness. And when we talk about things like Bible study, all right, I don't want to be legalistic with it, right? But when we read consistently, what are we being reminded of? That God should be trusted. And when I read about Jesus, I see someone who never allowed kindness and truth to depart from him. And when I read about how, hey, God won here, and you know what? Here's a saint that was put in a trial, and he trusted God, and he won. And here we go. What do you know? Let me skip to all the way. Oh, wait, God won.
It's almost like he knows what's happening. And I'm not going to trust in myself, in my own understanding. I'm going to take God's word. I'm going to say, this is it. And so that's why it's so important that I read it. And not that I just read it, but that I study it and that I meditate on it. And I would encourage you and challenge you to listen to music that repeats those truths. It gets in your mind. And come to church as much as you can to rub elbows with other people that are also striving not to lean on their own understanding. And so that when you're sitting around the table or when you're playing that game together, the advice and the counsel that you give to each other is godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. Do not lean on your own understanding. Well, what's the third answer to this question? In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That word means to notice, to learn, to know, but it also really carries this idea of understanding. So in all of my ways, I acknowledge him. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He is in control. He is my heavenly Father. Proverbs 1:2, to know wisdom and instruction and to discern the sayings of what? Understanding. I need to understand him and his word. Wisdom, as I said before, is both knowing and doing. And when it comes to the gospel, it's not enough just to know the gospel, to have the head knowledge of the gospel. I must what? I must believe in my heart and I must confess Jesus is Lord. That's how it works. Acknowledging, understanding in everything that I do. And what's the third promise here? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 16 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Now, if I told you today that if you did this, you would have a straight path to get to anywhere you want to get to. And you're like, 114's been under construction for 12 decades. That red light at Dove tests my sanctification quite often. Will it ever turn green? Is that person going to go? Oh, it's another topic for another day. You'd be like, sign me up. I don't need to worry about navigation or anything like that. Just boop, straight way. And what is being promised here, if I simply trust God in everything, my way is straight. It's going to be bumpy. Could be rocky. Could lead to persecution. But my way is straight. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Sometimes we're like, should I take this job? Should I move to this place? Should I do this thing? Should I do that or this or that? I'm simply going to trust the Lord. He's going to work it out. We know in our mind that he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. But do we trust him? We need to. So in summary, and you see, I even left a summary slide. And I know some of you are like, no, just keep, God, Justin, keep going. Spurgeon never looked at a watch. He wouldn't stop. I've taken enough of your time. You've been wonderful. With these prompts, I want you to consider, are you going to dedicate your life to keep God's commands? And if you do, Christian, he promises very clearly a long life, a peaceful life. Now, the time on earth might be short, but the time in eternity will be forever. And there's no greater promise than this, right? Because I know what I deserve. Then I see what he's giving me. I want to do that. But then I want to value and practice kindness and truth. I want to value and practice kindness and truth. And what does that get me? It gives me favor with God and man. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get that promotion. Sometimes, Christian, you're going to be passed up for that promotion because you love Jesus. But your testimony will ring loud and clear for Jesus. And the ones he wants to see will see. And you can take that testimony and pair it with the words of truth, and it may be that that's how someone comes to know Christ as their Savior. We need to trust in the Lord. And what does he promise us? Straight paths. Not paths with no difficulties, with no challenges, but a clear path that leads me to him. And that's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. Why would anyone not do this? Well, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? If you're an unbeliever, you can't do this. But if you will turn to Christ and believe in him, he will give you the ability through the Holy Spirit to act upon this. And Christian, we need to continue to remind ourselves, it's not about me, it's not about myself, it's not my thoughts, it's not my wants and my wishes, it's about God. And when I start to lean on my own understanding is tainted, all right? It's not expansive. I need to instead trust and lean on God. I hope that you see the benefits of wisdom, and I pray that you would put into practice the things that we talked about. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, your word is such a treasure. It is such a joy to study it with your people. But my prayer, Lord, is that we would do more than just study it. That we would love it, that we would live it, and that we would teach it to others and to the next generation. All praise and glory be to you for giving these truths to Solomon, who passed them on to others. May we take these truths and pass them on for your glory. We love you, Father. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Justin. We're going to close with the song we sang earlier before the message. We're going to sing it one more time together. Please stand. Let's sing Christ is Mine Forevermore.
I was made to walk.
righteousness. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And everyone said, amen. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.